In the Gemaras like these, which are basically Agadata, we like to go a little bit quicker. We started yesterday a sugya in which there were various statements or sayings, we would call them like a motto. And Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, he managed to find a posuk to back each one up. So we're up to in the Gemara. So we're halfway down the Omer. The first word on the line is Sheva. First word on the line is Sheva. You'll see there's like a parenthesis there in the middle of the line. So just after the parenthesis, it says, Hahu Dava Ka'oma Va'ozil. There was this person who used to say the following. Again, we're quoting various mottos, various sayings that people used to utter. And then Rav Yehuda is telling Shmuel, or Shmuel saying Rav Yehuda, he managed to find a posuk which backs it up. So here comes another one.
It's interesting, the way Art Scroll translates that phrase is, there was this man who walked along saying. Whereas what,
right.
Yeah, but the way you're translating it seems more correct, but that's not the way they translate it.
Yeah, I can't argue with Art Scroll.
Can I interject for something? I have to say this. The other day, I felt I had a particular avera that just, it came upon me, and I tried my best and whatever. And it's something that I haven't been involved in a very, 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 very long time and whatever. And I felt and I did it, and I tried to do tshuva, and I felt so, 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 so bad about it. And da, 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 da. And then I opened up the Gemara first thing, Sheva Yipol HaTzadik.
Sheva Yipol HaTzadik, right.
It's unbelievable, like the message, like.
Yeah. Sheva Yipol HaTzadik HaKom, which we explained yesterday, does not mean that the tzaddik, despite falling seven times, he rises, but otherwise, rather what it means is, it's because he falls. That's really what, it's a Yerida L'Tzerech Aliyah, and that's what distinguishes him and a Rasha. Okay, so there was this person, Ahud Avakomar Va'ozel, there was somebody who always used to say, or when you would walk, you would say, and he would utter the following, Da'ozil Mibei Dina. If ever you leave a bezdin, shokal glima, and they took your coat away, meaning, if you ever had to go to bezdin for a monetary shaila, and the bezdin paskened against you, and they even ordered you to take literally the coat off your back and pay that to the other side, so you might think you should be extremely disappointed and very hard done by. No. This person always used to say, Lizmar Zemer. You should actually sing a song, V'lezel Ba'urcha, as you go along the road. You should be dancing with delight. Why should you be dancing with delight? So let's have a look at Rashi. The Mibeidina Shaklu Gelima. Mi Shenotal Bezdin Talisoi. Talis, as we know, does not mean in the times of Chazal what it means nowadays. Nowadays we use talus as what we wear in during Shachris. But their talus was their cloak, was their beged. So mi shenotal bezdin talisei. If bezdin took somebody else's talus, for what reason? Lepoiro la'acher, in order to pay it to somebody else, because he was considered guilty and has to pay therefore somebody he owes money to. Lizmar v'lezel. He should walk and dance and sing. Why should he be so happy? So you remember, we mentioned this last week. Hoyel v'din emes donu, because they paskin the correct din, lo hifsid klum, he didn't lose anything at all. That's not called you lost your coat, to the contrary. Elo gezela hoitzioi miyodoi. Rather, all they did was they took out of my property something which they paskin was stolen property, and therefore I ought to thank them. So this is a very important principle. We mentioned this last week. I remember when I came to Gimel, that's one of the first things that Rav Davidovich, my Rebbe, taught me. He said, when you have to paskin shailas, you can't have rachmonas, you've got to paskin what you think is emes, and then people ought to thank you whether or not you paskined, as it were, in their favor or against. You said chayav or potter, or whether you said tomei or toher, they should thank you in the same way. They shouldn't just thank you when you were lenient. And this is exactly what Rashi and the Gemara are telling you. That even if the judgment went against you, you should say, thank you very, very, very much. Baruch Hashem, you saved my life. By taking this coat away from me, you've ensured that I do not have stolen property in my rashus. So I didn't lose out. To the contrary, I gained. Baruch Hashem, I don't have gezel with me. Says the Gemara, back into the Gemara again. A posuk was found to support this. Omar Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Kroksiv. It's a posuk. It says, V'gam kol ha'om hazeh al mekoymoy yovoy b'shalim. If you remember, this is the parasha of Yisroi, when Yisroi re-established, he altered the whole judicial system in Klal Yisrael, and it says, everybody went home b'shalim. What do you mean, everybody? Why did everybody go home b'shalim? You would have thought that only those who were considered innocent should go home b'shalim. Why does it mean everybody? Says Rashi, kol ha'om hazeh b'yisroi k'siv. There's a post that is written with regard to Yisroi, u'mashma loy shno zakai, loy shno chayv. Doesn't make a difference whether he was found innocent or guilty. Kulon b'mashma. Everybody seems to be included. Everybody went home happy. So you see that we have a Torah source for this phrase. This phrase that this person used to walk around with, saying that if you come home having been found guilty and your coat has been taken away, you should thank them and you should sing and dance. Says Shmuel, yes, I found a pasuk to back it up. Okay, the next phrase. Hahu davakomar va'ozil. There was somebody else who used to go and say the following motto. Now, I'm curious how to art school translate this, because it's a very interesting Rashi over here. He naima v'dikula shofil. Literally translated, when she falls asleep, then her basket will fall. Is that how they translate it in art school?
Absolutely, just the same.
Right, so when she falls asleep, her basket will fall. What does that mean?
Have a look. The basket that's perched on her head will lower.
Right. So have a look at Rashi. What's this referring to? Again, it's all like a moshel, all different turn of phrase. He naima v'dikula shapil k'sheho isha menamnemes. When a woman slumbers, she falls asleep. Hasal, the basket, she'al roisha, remember, that's the way they used to transport. They used to keep the basket perched on their head. So the basket, which is Sha'al Roisha, Shehino Senes Boy, which she places in it, Pilcha, I think that means her embroidery, Umeleches Yodeha, and her handiwork, Shofil, it would lower, it would slip. Meaning you've got to concentrate properly. If you want to balance a basket on your head, you've got to make sure you're alert and awake. Because if you start falling asleep, then inevitably the basket will slip down. So what's he trying to say with this phrase? Kloima. What this means is, mitoich shehi atzela. Because she's atzela. Atzela means she's lazy. Right? She's not assertive. She's dropping. She's falling asleep. Ein Melachto nikeres v'kulon mashlois hein. Her work no longer becomes recognized; it will just slip and fall away. Remember, why was she in the why was she with a basket on her head in the first place? Clearly, this is her parnasa. She has embroidered or produced things with her handiwork, and she's gone to the shuk in order to not only sell it, but by virtue of the fact that it's on her head, that's the way of showing it, displaying it, advertising it. But if she does not display alacrity, she has atzlus, she's dropping, she's falling asleep, then what will happen? It will slip, it will fall, people won't see it properly, and she'll end up losing out as a result. So look back into the Gemara. Once again, a posuk is found to support this. Omale Shmuel of Yehuda, kroksiv. Once again, a posuk is to be found. What's the posuk? Ba'atzaltayim, from the word atzlus, laziness, yimach hamikre. Yimach is from the word moch, a person will become poor. Laziness brings about poverty. A person puts in effort, then he can be successful.
Why do you think they if they're talking about Parnassa, like, why do you think they talked about a woman here? That's very interesting. It's a very, it's a weird, rarely, yeah. You know, it's not shaykh to women.
Yeah, I think that was the way that she used to produce Maisa Yodayim. The Gemara Ksubas talks about this, and that's the way she would be Mefarnes the Bais. Next phrase. Now, again, how do they translate this? I'm very curious. Ahu de vakoma va'ozel gavra de rochitzna oleo adye legziza vakom. How do they translate that in a Rabbi Art scroll?
The man in whom I trusted raised his fist and stood against me. Understood.
Now, this is very, very important. This is a lesson in bitochin. Again, this is all different phrases, different sayings that people used to say. And we're backing them all up with a pasuk. So here comes another one. Gavra derachitzna oleho. The person in whom I trusted. Ruchitzna is a lashon of trusting. Ended up turning his back on me. I invested too much faith in a human being. And he turned his back on me. Adye legzize turned his fist on me. Vakom and stood up against me. So somebody who I thought was my friend ended up being my enemy. Clearly displaying a lack of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was boiteach, clearly too much in a human being. And once again, we bring a pasuk to back this up. Omalei Shmuel Rehuda Krok Siv, it's a pasuk, because it says, Gam ish shloimi, the person with whom I had shloim, asher botachti boy, in whom I trusted, etc., etc., eventually turned his back on me. Look at Rashi. Adye legzize vekom, heirim egroifoi olai. Egroifoi is a fist. He lifted up a fist against me, meaning he's trying to attack me. V'omad lenegdi, and has ended up being my enemy, somebody whom I over-trusted.
It says in Chovos Levavos, u'mishu boteach u'mishu mashu chutz me'Hashem, Hashem meisir hashkachosu mimenu.
Larry, I see you're a Boki in Shara Bitochin.
Only about 150 times.
150 times?
Easy.
Wow, you're unbelievable.
So not unbelievable, but I have it in English.
Good for you. I have one in English right in front of me. Here it is. That's the one?
No, I have a different one, a blue one. But same, it's Shara Bitochin.
Yeah, I have it on my
desk. Chutz me'Hashem, Hashem meisir hashkachosu mimenu.
So Larry's quoting the Hakdama. Those of you who are with us in the Vadim on Shara Bitochin, hopefully will remember this. This is a principle we've mentioned many times. If you ask somebody, do you have Bitochin? The answer is every person has Bitochin. There is no such thing as people not having Bitochin. Every person has Bitochin. The question is only, in whom is he Boiteach? Either a person is Boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is Boiteach in someone else, maybe in himself, maybe in his money, maybe in his doctor, or his lawyer, or his government, or his prime minister. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, if you are Boiteach in any other koyach but HaKadosh Baruch Hu meisir hashkachosu. He removes his hashkacha, and he puts you under the jurisdiction of the koyach that you placed your trust in. And of course, the classic example would be what we just learned last week. Yosef HaTzadik relies on the Sar HaMashkim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, this is not a punishment. This is not a punishment. But if you're relying on the Sar HaMashkim, then the Sar HaMashkim will, as it were, dictate your future. And if he forgets about you, then you'll languish in jail. It's not a punishment. It's just you chose a different track.
It's a very dicey path, though, I have to say, because I've had situations where, like, a client owed me money. And I had a bill to pay. And I was like, first I tried. I said, you know what? He knows he owes me money. When Hashem says I should get the money, I should get the money. And the money didn't come. Then I called the guy. And I was like, you know, you didn't pay this invoice or whatever. He goes, oh, I'll get it out tomorrow. So it confused me because I said, I wanted it to depend totally on Hashem. It didn't happen. So I went.
No.
It's just very, it's a very, very confusing.
That's like the shop is wonderful. Similarly about the person with a meal in front of him says, I won't put the food in my mouth. I'll trust Hashem to do it. No, you've got to pick up with a knife and fork and eat. That's the way Hashem made the world.
Well said. Larry, you did the perfect thing. You turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then you did the normal Ishtadlis, exactly as Rabbi Yosef said. I need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide me with food, but I've actually got to put the apple in my mouth, otherwise I'm going to be hungry. So you did great. Keep on learning Chavis of others and keep the money rolling in. And remember, 16 million for Darkei Yitzchok. Don't forget. In
Believe me, when it comes, it's yours.
Okay, I'll give you my bank account.
Alavai. Much pitching is a good thing to have for those Americans.
We're happy to change the name of the shul. We'll call it...
Base Larry. That would never... Then the money's not yours. If we put my name on the wall, you're not getting the money.
All right. So for an extra million, we'll take the name off.
Done.
Okay. Back into the Gemara. Listen, I don't want there to be any fighting amongst the Shia members. You can all give 5 million each. And, you know, we don't want to cause any machlekes over here, chas v'shalom.
You know that the Rabbi David, when he was in Sheinfeld, it was called Base Medrash Torah Lumi, well, whatever, and everyone called it Rabbi David Shul. Everybody. Mm-hmm. So you can call it any name you want. It's going to be Rabbi Jalevsky Shul. That's the way it's going to be.
Absolutely not.
That's the way it is in Los Angeles.
That's the way it's going to be.
The shul in Los Angeles, the name of the shul is Kehilas Yaakov, but everybody calls it Rabbi Bess.
Rabbi Bess is Shul.
Yeah.
It's true. My parents daven in a shul, which is officially called Sinai Synagogue, but the rabbi is called Rabbi Knopfler, and his name is daven in Knopfler. Right? Even Rabbi Yosef, the shul that you used to daven in, was called Dayan Aaron Shoy's shul. Daven in the Dayans, it's called. Daven in the Dayan. Okay, back to our subject. Listen, Larry, we'll negotiate about the name afterwards. I don't want that to be the problem. As the Gemara, back into our sugya. Hahu dava ka'omar va'ozel. This is now the next phrase coming up. There was somebody who used to say, ki rachimton, when I had ahava, I had love for my wife, meaning when there was shalom bayis, ki rachimton hava azizo, when our love was strong, Apuse de safsera shchivon. Literally translated, we could sleep on the edge of a knife. Hashta de loyaziza rachimten. But if the rachmonos, if the ahava is not strong, then we don't have anything to do with each other. Then puria, even a bed, which is bar shittin garmidi, which is 16 garmidi wide, which is very colossal, obviously, loisagilon is not enough. So what's he saying? That when the kesher was strong, we could be together, even if it's cramped, even if it's squashy. And when the kesher was not strong, however luxurious it was never enough. A big yisoy. It says Rashi, Rachimta hava aziza, kesha ahavoseinu, when our love for each other, hoiso azo, was strong, beini leishti, says Rashi, then apuse de safsiro shchivon al roichav hasayef, on the edge of a knife, meaning on a wafer-thin blade, we would lie together. But otherwise, even the widest bed in the world, loy sagilon, loy dailonu, would not be enough for us. Which is a tremendously important yesoid. Let's just see the pasuk first that he brings. Once again, Omar Avuna kro iksiv. This can also be backed up by a pasuk. Why? Because me korek siv v'noyadati l'cho shom v'dibarati yitcho me'ala kapoiris. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself, as it were? Where did he speak to Moshe Rabbeinu? As we know, the coil emerged from the kapoiris, which was on top of the orin. Now, how large was that? It was tiny. The tanya orin was tisha, but the kapoiris was just a tefach, harikan asoro. So the whole thing was only 10 tefachim tall, and the kapoiris part was only a tefach. The ksiv, that was with regard to the Mishkan. What about in the Beis HaMikdash? The ksiv, ha-bayis asher bono ha-melech shloimo el Hashem. How large was the bayis that Shloimo ha-melech built for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shishim amo orkoi. 60 amas of length, the esrim rochboi, 20 of width, the shloishim amo kimoso, and 30 of height, which is enormous. Just to give you some idea, 30 amas would be the equivalent to approximately, if I'm not mistaken, about a 6 or 7 story building. So it was much larger, much wider, much taller than the Mishkan. Ulu b'seif ksiv, koyomar Hashem, it's a pasuk in the Novi, hashamayim kis'i, v'ho'oretz adoim ragli, Eze bayis asher tivnoi li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but which bias do I prefer? The Mishkan. So even though the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built was much more full of grandeur, much bigger, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, personally, I prefer the Mishkan, which was much smaller. So this is a demonstration of the apostle that we just brought, that when the Kesher was very strong, right, in the Midbar, the Dorideo, the Dorideo that was Makabal the Torah, when the Dorideo had the Kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need a luxurious grand building. Says Rashi, Hari Kana Sora on the first wide line, Goiva min HaKarka, it was only 10 tfochim off the wall, off the floor. Hare, so you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashre Shchinosoi Ba'asora Tfochim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy to reside his Shchino, 10 tfochim somuch lekarka. Even on the length of the kapoires, which is just an amo and a half, which is tiny.
What's the whole message here with the size and the love and
One second. The Beis HaMikdash, not the Mishkan, but when the Beis HaMikdash was built, which was much, much, much larger than the Mishkan. And when Klal Yisrael sinned at the time of the Beis HaMikdash and eventually the destruction, Ne'emar Lohem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eizei Bayis Asher Tivnu Li, which Bayis should you really build for me? I actually prefer the Mishkan. Shetuchal Shchinosi, so that my Shchina would be able, Liyos Mitzumtzemes B'Soichai, to reside in, I'm happy to be in the Mishkan. In other words, the point that's supposed to be demonstrated is that the kesher, the relationship between any two parties, whether it's husband or wife, or lahavdil, between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not based on luxury, is not based on physical wealth or dimension, but rather, if there is a strong kesher, then all of the size and the grandeur is all irrelevant. And that was demonstrated in the Moshel. He said, when the kesher is strong between me and my wife, we're able to manage at the edge of a knife blade. Blade of a knife. And when we're not getting along, then even a bed, which is 60 garamidi wide, which must be a few kilometers wide, is not big enough for us. Why not? We've got such wonderful luxury, and all the luxury in the world counts for nothing. And that's demonstrated by the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the Beis HaMikdash was much more grandiose in the Mishkan, but if Klal Yisrael was sinning, it's all worth nothing. I'm happy to be back in the Mishkan. Okay, back into the Gemara. You'll remember on the previous Omud, on Daf Vav Omud Beis, if you have a look back in Vav Omud Beis just for a moment, you'll see on the fourth very wide line towards the bottom of the Omud. If you remember, we said there that once the two parties have presented their claims, and basically you know which way the wind is blowing, you know which way the psak is going, so at that point, you cannot now avoid it. You cannot say, sorry, I'd rather not judge. Initially, you can say it's my prerogative to say thank you, but no thank you. I'd rather not be the dayan. But once you've heard the claims, it's too late. And we back this up by lo soguru mipi'ish, mipnei'ish. So we normally translate lo soguru to mean do not be afraid. But over there, we were translating it differently. If you have a look at the Rashi, we had it before as well. On Talmud sheyeshev lifnei rabbi. Yes, have a look. Sorry, the next line of the Gemara, the fifth very wide line. On the fifth very wide line, it says there, minayin le Talmud sheyeshev lifnei rabbi. Remember the case of Talmud was sitting in front of his Rebbe, and he sees what he thinks is the Rebbe making a mistake? And the Rebbe is about to make one person, i.e. the Oshir, the very prominent wealthy individual, is about to declare him innocent, and the poor individual is about to be declared as guilty, and the Talmud thinks that it should be reversed. So he's got to pluck up a lot of courage to overrule the Rebbe, and we said that, yes, you should do that. Why? Lo soguru, you should not remain silent. Lo soguru pleish. So have a look at Rashi. It's about halfway up the Omer. Have a look at the Rashi. Sheyoshev lifnei raboy. Rashi there says, the Talmud is sitting in front of the Rebbe, ubo din lifnei raboy, and the judgment comes in front of his master, v'loy lefonov. It doesn't come to the Talmud. He's just there as an innocent bystander. V'ro'o ha-Talmud zechus lo'oni. And the Talmud sees a zechus, a taina that could really help in his favor for the oni. But yet, the rabbi toya bedin. And as far as he's concerned, however, the Rav is making a mistake in his judgment. He's about to declare innocent the one who's guilty, and guilty the one who's innocent. So, minayin, how do we know? Shelo yachlik kovod l'rabbi. How do we know that the Talmud does not need to accord honor to his Rebbe? The Yishtoi can just remain silent. No, he should not do that. He should interject. And he should say, excuse me, I think you're making a mistake. Talmud Loimar, etc., etc., etc. We learn from the Pasuk, Lo Sogur Mepneish. Says Rashi, Ula Kamon, and this is the Gemara we're about to learn. Later on in Daf Zayin, Mefarish, Mai Mashma, where is the implication in the words, De Lo Soguru, quote unquote, that it's a loshon of kinus, a loshon of entering. What are we telling the Talmud? You may enter the conversation. You do not have to stand on the outside. Rather, you should enter the conversation, even if it means outruling, overruling your Rebbe. But it's a very, very interesting translation of the word lo soguru. How do we know that lo soguru, the word guru, means to enter? So Rashi says, if you look in Daf Zayin, you'll see. So now look back in our Gemara. If you look back in our Gemara, that's what the Gemara says. My mash, where exactly is the implication that what? How do you know the high loisoguru, quote unquote? How do you know that this phrase, this possible loisoguru, how do you know that lishna de kenushi, it's a loshon of entering, that the Talmud may enter the conversation? Where do we see a precedent that the word lesoguru is translated as to enter? Says the Gemara, yes, there are various psukim in the Novi that back this up. Three examples. Omer of Nachman Amakro, v'yayin loy tishte v'loy sa'agoyr. How do they translate that in a Ryan scroll? Do not drink wine and do not
gather in. Gather in.
Gather in. Ravacha by Yaakov Amo Mehocha, Saposuk in Mishle, Tochin Bekayetz Lachmo, Ogra Bekotzir Ma'achala. He will gather in the harvest all his food. Ravacha Breidrim Ikom Mehocha, Oiger Bekayetz Ben Maskil, gathering in the Kayetz. So you see that the word Ogur really can be a Loshan translated as gathering in. Okay. Emes Momon Yire Simon, let's make a start to the next Sugya. Like I mentioned, a lot of this Gemara is Agadata, so we'd like to learn it quickly and get back to the halachic sugyas. Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, a famous Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yonason, Kol Dayon Shedon Din Emes La'amitoi. Any Dayon who paskins a Shaila, absolutely the Emes. Mashre Shechino B'Yisrael. He is causing the divine presence to reside in amongst Klal Yisrael. Shenema, Elohim Nitzov Ba'adas Keil, Bekerev Elohim Yishpoit. So it talks about the Yishpoit, it talks about the judgment, and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. So if you judge correctly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. If the Dayanim are paskening correctly, then there will be Shechino.
Why can't a dayan depend on Hashgacha Pratis that Hashem would give him the right decision?
One second. V'chol dayon she'einoi don din emes lamitoi. If the dayon makes a mistake, goyrem l'shchino she'tistalik mi Yisrael. He is actually causing the Shechina to be removed from Klal Yisrael. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. Now, it's true, we've discussed this in the past, that a dayan essentially has siyata d'shmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause a michshol not to emerge from him. I think you remember, we recall recently the story of the chicken flying into the milk, the Rav Paskad it's also, it was the right psak, it was for the wrong reason. So generally a person will have shmira b'hogufa. A person, in order to be zoicha to that shmira, has to earn that shmira. So the person, number one, has learned properly. Number two, when he paskens the shayla, he approaches it properly and he approaches it with pure kavonis, then indeed he'll have siyata d'shmaya.
Maybe it means a little bit of a surah. Maybe it means if a dayan gives the right din, it means he's opened himself up to the Shechina. Like, without opening yourself up to the Shechina, you can't get the right din.
Right. Meaning, that's what you're saying, pointing out, every poisek, every dayon, has to have a large measure of humility and realize that he's just a mouthpiece for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what I'm paskening is not my psak. I believe this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Very important. This is the way we have to learn all our Gemara. I heard in the name of one of the great Rosh Hashivas, it could even have been in the name of Rabbi Kiva Eiger, I'm not sure. I think I actually heard this. I think some of you may know Rabbi Yosef Rubinstein as a yeshiva in Ramah Aleph. I think I heard it from him once. I think he said Rabbi Kiva Eiger. But he said when he used to give shir in the following manner. If you're learning sukkah, for example, so it says sukkah, which is higher than 20 amos, is pasul. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. So the way he used to give shir was, sukkah shigavoy l'malam yesrim am apostle. If you have a sukkah which is higher than 20 amas, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then the sukkah is apostle. Rabbi Yehuda machshe, and Rabbi Yehuda said that no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really paskin that the sukkah is kosher. And that way they instilled in the Talmidim that we're not saying anything of our own. This is what I genuinely believe is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's opinion, as it were. We're learning Torah, we're learning the Dvar Hashem. And that's got to be the way that every dayan, every rav, every poisek paskens is shayla. All I'm telling you is what I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. This is not my opinion. This is not my take on it. This is what I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. Okay, we have to hold it over here. But maybe let's just finish with one line, because we say every single day in davening, Hoshiva Shaifteinu Kvarishenu V'yatzenu Kvatchilo. We daven that once again our shoftim from previous years should be restored. And then it says, V'hoser mimenu yogoin va'anocha. And all anguish should be removed. So in light of our Gemara, we can have a new interpretation. Because if we really have proper dayonim, who paskin properly, then there won't be anguish because the Shechina will be residing amongst Klal Yisrael. And really, that's what we're davening for. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Be'ezus Hashem Yizbarach. We'll resume tomorrow. Everyone should be well. Everyone should feel well. Amen.
Amen.
Have a wonderful day.